So, just a bit of background for those of you who aren't from California. Los Angeles is a huge area. So the county itself has 88 cities, and there are approximately 10 million people who live there. The area that we specifically work in is called District 2, and it encompasses the areas of South Los Angeles, which was formerly called South Central, and includes the cities of Compton, Inglewood, Watts, Hawthorne. Because it is a huge area, there's a lot of STDs in that area as well. In 2012, all of LA County reported about 60,000 STDs, 11,000 of which roughly were gonorrhea cases. I should mention that the numbers reported to Los Angeles County Department of Public Health don't include the cities of Long Beach and Pasadena, which have sizable populations but also have their own public health department. That being said, about 40% of all gonorrhea cases reported to the Department of Public Health come out of District 2. That's roughly 4,400 cases of gonorrhea coming out of this one area alone. Here's a map of LA County, and what it shows is where gonorrhea is concentrated in the county. So these darker blue regions are South LA. The other high morbidity area in LA County is the Hollywood-Wilshire area, which has a sizable LGBTQ population, and actually District 2 encompasses a portion of that Hollywood-Wilshire area also. So because of the picture that this map presents, the Community Embedded Disease Intervention Specialist Program, or CEDIS program, was created for District 2. And the program was modeled after a somewhat similar but distinct program at the LA Gay and Lesbian Center. CEDIS were created to give an added focus and give special attention to gonorrhea cases coming out of District 2 and to enhance existing efforts already underway by county public health investigators. So the California Family Health Council hired two CEDIS to be stationed at LA County Department of Public Health. In addition, because we were hired with or from the California Family Health Council, we also add a reproductive health element to traditional STD follow-up.
Hi, everyone. And in order to focus on our project, we focus on two major components. We focus on case management and community engagement work. So to give you an idea of what the process looks like, for our case management process, we are assigned gonorrhea and gonorrhea co-infected cases from various clinics in District 2. Now, the process for case management basically requires an interview with the patient where questions and the interviewer focused on the patient's sexual practices, risk, education, and partner elicitation. So once we obtain locating information from the patient, then we can then proceed to interview the patient's partner and partners for follow-up, and basically also provide them with services like treatment or preventative treatment, testing, and education. Now, these partners to the patients, we basically consider them as their main sexual contacts. But aside from doing also partner elicitation, we also initiate clusters. And so clusters are basically anyone who may benefit from an exam or someone that is experiencing symptoms or also an engaging in risky sexual behaviors that the patient knows of but isn't necessarily having sex with the patient. And so once we initiate these clusters, basically the process or follow-up process for them too is just like the partner services. So we also go through the same process of preventive treatment, testing, and also partner elicitation. Now, aside from our case management on our community component, because we are community embedded, a big focus for us was also to integrate ourselves into the community. And so to help accomplish this, we decided to work with high morbidity clinics and also community-based organizations in District 2. When we selected our clinics to work with, we basically identified them based on their high gonorrhea morbidity reports sent to the Department of Public Health and also from lab reporting or lab submissions. Now, when we decided to work with community-based organizations, we basically identified them based on the same target population that we work with, and also based on the demographic areas of where these community organizations stand And basically, these areas are where we've seen a lot of high morbidity rates as well, or gonorrhea morbidity rates. Now, to give you an idea of what's been going on since we started this project, we joined in September, but we really technically didn't start working on cases until around November time after we received some proper training. But since then, Francisco and I combined have interviewed about 260 patients, 128 males and 132 females. And just to clarify, the distribution of our cases, Francisco focuses mostly on the male population, and I focus mostly on the female population. And so basically through our interviews with these patients combined, we have initiated at least 159 sex partners and clusters that have also required interviews and follow-up and treatment again and partner elicitation. And so when comparing our numbers for partner elicitation with public health investigators, about 60% of the time when we interview a patient, we initiate at least one partner. And so basically about 6 out of 10 times we interview a patient, we generate at least one partner, which is twice the number from the public health investigators in LA. Now, just to give you an idea of how many clinics and community-based organizations we've worked with so far, we have met with 12 high morbidity, again, gonorrhea reporting clinics and 10 based community organizations in District 2. Now, how we establish these relationships with the clinics and the community-based organizations. And so with clinics, we have been able to establish these working relationships through our first initial contact, also through continuous visits, chart audits, also presentations, and supplying these clinics with sexual health marketing materials, and also making ourselves available to basically help them out and finding these like hard to locate patients, because also something that we do is that we actually have access to is we have access to doing some field work. So when we can't locate our patients by calling them, we can actually go out into the field and look for them at their homes or if they are stationed at a specific facility. So that's what makes it a little bit easier for us to go out into the community and look for these patients that most of the MAs or medical staff can't. Now, also with working with community-based organizations, we have been able to raise awareness about the STD control plan in District 2, also through visits, presentations, and outreach events, pretty much focused on STD and prevention and testing. Now, because of this work with the clinics and community-based organizations, we have been able to change some of these misconceptions that surround public health, which most time are not very positive, and from the community, and have been able to strengthen some of these relationships with public health and the community. And so to give you guys now an idea of what we kind of go through and what we encounter when we meet these patients, we're going to just kind of showcase some of the cases that we've worked with before. So about a few months ago, I was assigned to work this case, a 24-year-old African-American woman. She went in to get tested because she saw this movie called Temptation. And so I don't want to ruin it for people if you guys haven't seen it, but at the end it turns out that this woman is exposed to HIV. And so she was really concerned about this, and she was really scared, and it was basically the reason why she went out to get tested. And so, again, through case management, I called her, but I wasn't able to find her. And so I went out into the field, and luckily she was in her apartment. So that actually made it better because we had more of a personal interaction, and I feel that that usually helps in terms of the interviews and getting information if you have more of a, personal contact. And so she was positive for gonorrhea and chlamydia. She had two partners. Through further investigation, come to find out one of her partners was positive for HIV. She didn't know about this, and so because of this, we were able to test her and have a quick result for HIV, and luckily she was negative. But because of this, we were able to counsel further on safe sex practices.
And as another case study, this time the interview location was LA County's Central Juvenile Hall. Individual was a 15-year-old gonorrhea-positive male. He had a previous chlamydia incident the year before. He claimed 10 sex partners during the interview period, and the interview period is 2 months prior to the start of symptoms or signs of gonorrhea. He's also an active gang member. He was involved in small-level pimping with one or two females. During the interview, we were able to initiate 4 sex partners for STD follow-up and 2 members of his social network for STD follow-up. I think this type of case encapsulates the complexities of STD control among the most at risk in District 2. For example, gang involvement cannot be understated. His gang controls a significant prostitution zone in District 2, and there's an overlap between young members of his gang and the young sex workers who also work that area. In fact, one of the members of the social network that we initiated for follow-up was an organizer of orgies between the young gang members and the young sex workers. So we think that the project, we've only been working for about a year, and we think it's been successful for a few reasons. Number one, we've been able to establish relationship with community providers, as was explained by Cellular earlier, and this has allowed us to expand our referral network beyond just the public health clinics that don't have such a great reputation among our target population, which is young African American and Latin folks. It also allows us to facilitate record searches. A lot of our case management actually come down to just verifying lab results or documentation or treatment, and this helps us speed that process up. It also allows us to get buy-in from the providers as to what we do in the community, and also allows us to let them know how important they are in the overall process. We also have prior knowledge and history with South Los Angeles. We've worked there, we've lived there, we spent considerable time there, and just knowing the issues, the people, and the struggles of South LA has been a big plus. For example, the case that I presented with a 15-year-old gonorrhea-positive male, the first 20 minutes of my interaction was just talking about gang politics. I knew of his brother through just, he has a reputation in the community. And by being familiar with community issues, we mean understanding issues like gang involvement in South LA, sex work, and those type of issues. Those have allowed us to build rapport with our client base. That being said, we have come across a few barriers. There is a general distrust of the public health department among our target population. Many of them have had previous experiences with county health departments and other county departments like juvenile hall, social services, central jail, and unfortunately some of these experiences haven't been positive, so those experiences get translated to us and it's been an uphill battle to get their trust. There's also the issue of race in LA County. Maybe 20, 30 years ago, District 2 was a majority African-American area. Now it's a majority Hispanic area. And because of that, there was some concern that because we're both Hispanic, we wouldn't be as effective working with this target population. That hasn't been an issue on the ground and with the clients, but it was brought up in the past, so we thought we should mention it. And there's also a fear of exposure to peers and authorities. I think this is a general fear among STD-positive patients. They don't want to talk about their sex partners, their sexual lives with anybody for fear that the community will know, their family will know.
Okay, and so aside from some of these barriers, some of the challenges that we have faced, well, one is that we've only been a project for a year, and so we have only just begun to embed ourselves into the community. And so this means that we're just on the first phase, really, of the work that we're doing with these clinics and community-based organizations. Also, aside from that, another challenge is the way in which cases are distributed, because there are 4 STD county clinics in District 2, which also have public health investigators at the clinic, and they also interview gonorrhea cases. So sometimes we kind of miss those cases. Also, another challenge is not fully reaching our target population, and so missing those opportunities for testing or not having enough information to locate these specific, again, targeted populations that are in need of sexual health services. And last but not least, of course, not having continued funding for the project can be a challenge to keep moving forward and pretty much doing the work that we're doing right now in District 2. But aside from these challenges and barriers, we're very excited to see what's going to happen in our second year. And so for our next steps, we will continue to expand our community provider network and strengthen our relationships with our clinics and CBOs in the community. We will also evaluate our first year and compare our successes and setbacks to continue improving the work that we've been doing already with these populations that we serve. Also, we will be focusing on subpopulations in District 2, again, like gang members or girls or women who are victims of sexual exploitation, because this is also an area where there is a lot of, you know, high STDs. There is still a lot of work to do in District 2, but because this is a high-need area. But what we have been able to accomplish so far in the first year has been a positive step towards addressing social determinants of STD risk. So we are very happy to have been here and present some of the work that we've done for our first year. And maybe hopefully we'll be back again next year and tell you guys what happened on that second year and follow up. So thank you so much for your attention. And we look forward to any questions you guys have. And this is our information if you guys would like to further discuss what we've been doing. So thank you.